Thanks for listening from Guest Match World Media Strategy Headquarters, Washington, D.C. I'm Burke Allen, and this is a very special teleseminar that includes both Guest Match and Speaker Match members, because we're talking about something that cuts through and that everyone can benefit from, and that's how to get free national television exposure. And think about it for just a moment. How might your business, your career, or your life change if you appeared on a big national television show? Well, our Guest Match clients have done that on CNN, on Fox News, on The David Letterman Show, on The Rachel Ray Program, and many more. And best of all, what if you could do that without paying a dime for that exposure? How would that change things for you? Well, Guest Match and Speaker Match member Rick Robinson knows very well how that can change things. Rick was recently a guest on Sean Hannity's highly rated Fox News Channel program as a part of the Great American Panel. And there was a link in the email that you received to tell you about this call where you can actually watch Rick in action. Rick is an author and a political strategist. His latest book is called Manifest Destiny. He's an old pal, and he's good enough to join us on the phone to tell us exactly how he made this national television exposure happen. Rick Robinson, welcome to our special teleconference.
Great to be here, man. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and I do appreciate you sort of pulling the veil back like the Wizard of Oz. We're going to look at the man behind the curtain and how you were able to pull this off. And by the way, if you're listening live, of course, many folks will listen to this as a podcast afterwards. You can press *2 with questions, and Paul back at Guest Match and Speaker Match Central will let us know that you're waiting with a question, and we'll chime you in there. If you can hold those questions to the second half of the call, that'd be great. We'll go about 60 minutes today. Or if you have a question you'd like me to ask Rick personally, maybe you're a little microphone shy, we need to get you over that. But in the meantime, we will help you with that. You can type in your questions in the question link in the email you received to tell you about this call. So two ways to participate today. Press *2 if you'd like to ask a question, or type in your questions in the question link in the email you received. So, Rick, you are an author and also a speaker, and Manifest Destiny is a political thriller. Now, conventional wisdom in our world is if you write fiction books, it's much tougher to get national exposure. But you have gone about it in such a way that has worked pretty well for you and helped you to reach this national TV exposure. And one of the things that you've done that I think is interesting is the way that you use social media, including sites like Guest Match, to sort of create a web presence. So let's start with that. What do you do and how do you do it to create that social media presence?
Well, if we for the next 4 hours, then what I'd like to do is conduct my seminar.
It's a lot of work, huh?
A lot of work and a little bit of everything, thing, Burke. You know, I really believed when my first book came out that one of the important things was to go out and create a web presence for my writing career. You hit the nail right on the head, I think, from the standpoint that I was doing fiction books. Although they were based in nonfiction and politics and real politics and the things were going on, I had to try and figure out a way to bridge all of those together and link those together to where, along with the writing of a fiction book, could also end up getting involved with talking to groups about politics, talking to groups about writing, talking to groups about those things, and creating that full service, a full roundup of services that you could throw out there.
Right.
And so one of the things I really started doing was really looking at creating a web presence, more than just going out and saying I want a website and I want a Facebook page, but really going out and trying to blanket the web for what it is that I did. One of the things I did very early on was actually join Speaker Match and got involved with it. And get a lot of speaking engagements and a lot of gigs through that I go out and talk about. When Guest Match came along, when you set up Guest Match, I was one of the initial members
That's right.
Well, this one has worked good, and went from there. But I think what you have to do, even with those two sites, is not just sit out and let them work themselves. I think in the way the Internet works today, you have to work them and make sure they work for you.
Well, I think that's a great point, and as a one of our more successful Guest Match and Speaker Match members, you know that you can't just throw up on Guest Match, for example, your online press kit. without keeping it fresh. And one of the things that I think that has helped you be successful, and you let me know what you think, Rick, is that you tend to post new information on Guest Match that ties in topically with what's happening in the news at any given time. You know, you position yourself as sort of a Washington insider because you spent some time on the Hill, although it was several years ago, and as a Republican strategist, so you pay attention to the headlines and you post what's topical out there on Guest Match and on social media. Have you found that helpful in generating this media exposure, both online and on the air?
Absolutely, and I do a little bit more than that as well. Not only do I actually use the Guest Match to keep the topics current, but I also then go ahead and blast that out, not only letting you use your list to do it, but I use my list to do it. Let me give you a good example.
Okay.
Was that I write a weekly column for the Daily Caller, and I've been doing that for about a year now. Works in well because it keeps the political there. It also is the nonfiction, the more commentary type of things that people are looking for when they're looking out for to have somebody on as a guest. When Roger Clemens was when the trial started, I had written an article a year ago when he had first been indicted. I retook that article that I had posted on the Daily Caller,
right?
Reposted it on your site. Then took the listing on your site and blasted it to about 1,000 media contacts.
See, that's
for the
perfect.
Next 2 days, all I did was national appearances on Roger Clemens.
That's
and
perfect.
When the trial went south with the hung jury, again, I was actually happened to be in Washington down at the Nationals game, or I should say the congressional baseball game at Nationals Park,
right?
And literally was answering phone calls from the seats in the stadium. You know, you have to not only be a member of organizations like Speaker Match and Guest Match, but you have to be savvy and know how to use them in today's internet environment.
And pay attention. And by the way, if you're just joining us, Rick Robinson is our guest today. You can visit him online at authorrickrobinson.com. He writes political thrillers. His latest is Manifest Destiny. And we're talking to him about how he's gotten all this national exposure, including a national TV hit just last month on Sean Hannity's show. We have a great question from a fellow author, Richard in Redondo Beach, says his brand-new thriller, Brain Rush, is just starting to get traction on Amazon. What's the best way to fuel the fire? Are you now making all your books available on Amazon and on Kindle versions, Rick?
Absolutely. All the books that I have are available on Amazon and Kindle. It's again, the new world out there. And I would say to anybody who is working that line of it, you have to really get it. Here's what you have to change the mindset of, and what I did to myself. I initially thought of Amazon as the place where I pushed my readers who didn't want to necessarily buy at store prices. They were fine with waiting a couple of days. They were fine with waiting for the book to get back. They would get a little bit less. Book might not be available at a bookstore in, you know, some place in middle America, so they could get it from there. And I was thinking that I was pushing my readers from that. The mindset that you have to change is that just like any brick-and-mortar bookstore, Amazon is a store. People are
right.
Going there every day to shop. And so to my friend who's just getting some traction on Amazon, a couple of things. You have to look at the way in your genre that people shop. In my genre, people shop by a couple of things. The categories that you list your book in on Amazon are very, very important because people end up shopping by categories. The other thing that people look at a lot and they shop by, and if you look at some of the tabs if you're shopping on Amazon, if you look at some of the tabs, you'll find that people actually shop by references. They want people to post reviews. When you hear people say, "Well, I need to get a bunch of reviews up on Amazon," there's a reason for that, because you can actually pop into a higher level of visibility with the people at Amazon by that. When I figured out that out, I made sure that my reviews from my current book went from 4 that I had online to 44.
Wow.
Overnight, literally, calling my friends, sending emails out, doing things. And when that happened, suddenly all the books started popping. So there's a lot of things you can do to figure out their algorithms and to figure out what they do. And the main thing you want to end up doing with Amazon is making sure that Amazon ends up doing your marketing. You want to be in that you want to be one of the books that is selling so well that they start advertising you to their customers.
Makes perfect sense. And Richard, I would add in that although I don't know what your thriller Brain Rush is about specifically, if you can really key in on some of the themes from the book and the research that you did in writing that book and then position yourself to the media as an expert in that field or someone who spent hundreds of hours researching that particular topic, then watch the news and set up some Google alerts with those phrases. That'll give you a great opportunity to get on the air and promote your book, you know, with television, radio, and print exposure. You know, I would also throw in there for everyone who's listening that, you know, half the game is getting the exposure, whether it be online or on TV or on the radio. Second half is really excelling when you get that interview on the air. And I'll talk to Rick about the specifics of how I thought he did a great job when he was on the air with Hannity, but you don't want to fall apart when you're on TV or on the radio. So if you don't have any media training of some sort, then you should certainly invest in that. And there's several ways that you can do it, some that you can do on your own at home, some with reading. If you're one of those people that learns well experientially, go to an event. We do one every year in October here in D.C. called Media Mastery Weekend, where for 3 days we put you in a studio, a TV studio and a radio studio, and we take you through the drill. And we really show you what it's like to be on camera and on the radio, you know, behind the mic. And if you want to find out more about that, it's Media Mastery Weekend. .com and let's talk a little about that, Rick. So you get to New York to do this Hannity interview, and when you're actually in the studio, what is it that surprises you? What's different that you didn't expect when you get there?
Well, the set was first off the set that they have. It's funny you talk about learning how to be comfortable in front of the microphone and in front of the camera.
Right.
One of the things that I would suggest to local listeners is get involved with your local telecommunications board. And I'll link this in a minute. I actually have a segue for this.
Yes. All right.
I do high school football and basketball announcing, doing play-by-play for the local telecommunications board.
Oh, wow.
It's a paid gig. They don't pay much, but you go down, you do the things, and it gets you the idea of being in front of a camera, of being in front of a microphone, of being able to talk fluently without saying every other word as you're going through the process of doing that. And so what you end up being able to do is getting that feel, getting that whole flow of what it's like to be on the air, that when you do get the break, suddenly having national exposure doesn't come as a shock to you. Now, going to Hannity's show was interesting in a lot of respects. First off, their set is phenomenal. The set that they have is one of the coolest sets that I've ever been on board. But what really surprised me was that the setup, the crew, the people around wasn't too much different than broadcasting from our local telecommunications board. You have a producer, you have a director, you have a sound person. You have people coming in on different angles on cameras, and it's pretty much the same type of setup of somebody going on a regular Friday night broadcast of high school football. So while the equipment is more expensive, while the whole studio is phenomenal, really the crew and the experience of sitting behind the camera was pretty much the same, and that's kind of what surprised me. I expected there'd be a cast of thousands putting
right.
on the Hannity show, and it's a small handful of very, very competent people to put it on.
Rick Robinson is our guest.
Sean Hannity, by the way, is a heck of a guy.
Oh, he was nice to you. I hear that. I hear he's a good fella. Rick recently did the Sean Hannity show on Fox News, and we're talking about how you get that exposure, and then once you get there, how to do it really, really well. I personally did a Fox News hit recently, and for the benefit of folks who've never done a television interview, my experience was a lot different than Rick's in that when I arrived at the TV station, I went on my own. I had to very much sort of know what to do. I had to tell the security guard who I was and why I was there, and he sort of led me into this back warehouse area where I hung out in a very small green room with a water machine and a coffee machine, and then I was led by a segment producer into a studio all by myself, and they put a little earpiece in my ear called an IFB, and there was not another human being in that studio. There was a computer, a robotic camera that zoomed in on me, and I never met the person that I was actually doing the interview with. He was in a different studio elsewhere. There wasn't even a camera tech in there with me. The only contact I had with a human was the person in my ear saying, okay, Mr. Allen, we're on in 10 seconds. So the reason I bring this up is that you have to be very flexible and very fluid when it comes to these media opportunities. The other thing that happened with mine, Rick, is that I got a phone call at 5:30 that afternoon and was on the air live at 10 o'clock that night. So it can all come very, very suddenly. I want to jump back into the social.
That's what happened in a lot of respects with the interviews that I ended up doing with Roger Clemens. The Roger Clemens issue. I was found myself in Washington for a couple of days on business. And as I was walking around, we were actually down at the Dubliner, and somebody looked up and said, hey, look, they just busted through the Roger Clemens trial. They got a hung jury. Or the judge didn't have a hung jury. The judge declared a mistrial.
Right.
And almost immediately my phone began ringing because I had sent out several guest match queries in the week beforehand, taking what I had done with before of this article and sending it around to my media list. And suddenly those folks had known that I had sent it around, and now they're wanting me for comment to go, can you go live at whenever? Can you go live at whenever? So you're right. You have to be very flexible. If you say no too many times, they aren't going to go to the well more than once or twice.
That's right. That's right. And it's great that, you know, you gave them the phone number. This seems like a simple thing, but people mix this up a lot. You gave them the phone number that you will answer and you will take those calls. If a media a person, especially one on deadline, calls and they get your voicemail, they're going to go on to the next person in the stack, the next person in the Rolodex. So make sure whatever you post on your guest match profile, as your media contact number, you're actually going to answer it. If you give them an email address there, it's one that you really answer and that you see, not one that goes into an endless email vacuum. Rick Robinson is our guest today, and we're talking about achieving national exposure like Rick recently did with his Roger Clemens story and also with Hannity. I want to jump back to social media and social networking for just a second. We have a great question from a young lady that refers to that. But you actually utilize your social media to help get this political thriller optioned for a movie. And that's a huge deal because, Rick, and I hope I'm not giving up a confidence here, I want to share with our listeners, you're not being published by a huge publisher. You're not a Simon & Schuster or HarperCollins or Thomas Nelson kind of guy. You have a small publisher, but yet you were able to use your social networking skills and social media to actually get an option, a movie option on this book. Can you tell our listeners how you did that?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I am very proud to say that I am published by an indie press, small press headline books out of West Virginia. And I think the thing that is happening in the book industry right now is that the indie press is becoming more than just a something that people look down their nose at. I think many years ago people would say, you're with an indie press, they would kind of frown at you. But what you're finding today is it really is the outlet for a lot of writers to be able to tell the stories that they want to tell and to write the books they want to write. I got that opportunity 3-4 books ago, started building the web platform in that process and kind of working together with the books coming out, building the web presence, starting the monthly newsletters, doing all the various things that I do to network those books out there. And when the third book came out, it really had some staying power. It really started getting some good reviews. It got reviewed in some of the larger publications. People started liking it. And I was lucky enough last year for it to be named the 2010 Independent Book of the Year.
Great.
And again, when that comes out, if you're in the position of doing this, you don't just sit there and go, well, that's a nice story. Let me give it to my alumni newspaper. You have to be in the position to get that out fast, quick, try and see what press you can get from it. And I was able to do that, and I take all of those on a monthly basis, and I send them out to my readers, and readers forward them around. And what happened was that newsletter happened to get the attention of someone who worked for a producer in Hollywood. The producer was just finishing up his current movie and was taking it over to the Cannes Book Festival over in France. The guy calls me and says, I know this is a long shot, but I saw your release. Send me a copy of your book. I'd like to see it. This guy may be interested in the movie. Well, you get that. If you're a writer, those writers that are listening, we all get that story. Somebody wants to read it. Somebody knows somebody. Well, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, the producer calls me back and said, I absolutely love the book. I knew he read it because he actually went to particular scenes and said, I can see this visualized in my head. And then throughout the question that every author wants to hear, so what do you want for it?
Right.
And that's literally what started the whole chain of events that led to the Sean Hannity appearance, is that as they start to try and develop the movie and develop whether they can put all the financing and everything together, they want to make sure, the producers want to make sure that their author and their story is getting as much exposure as possible. And that's what led to the appearance on Sean Hannity's Great American Panel.
So the press for the movie deal really helped you land that spot on Hannity, and you know, it's obvious to me, and we see this all the time, how these things all work together, and you sort of need to stay on top of each of the moving parts. Our guest is Rick Robinson. It's a special guest match and speaker match teleseminar on getting free national TV exposure and radio exposure, online exposure. If you have a question, press *2 with your questions in the second half hour of the call. And if you have a question now, you can type that in the link in the email. And we do have a question from Dada, who says that she has 1,500 personal Facebook friends and wants to inspire them to move over to the Facebook fan page to sort of leverage that pool of contacts. Rick, do you have a fan page and a personal page, and do they intermix on Facebook?
What I'm getting ready to do, and Dada, don't make the mistake that I made. I made the mistake, and it was one of the things when Manifest Destiny was coming out, I set up a fan page that said Manifest Destiny due out spring of 2010. Not knowing at the time that once you set up a fan page, you cannot change the name.
Great.
So I set up this fan page, got a whole bunch of people involved with it, a whole bunch of people going to it, and now I have a fan page for a book that was released 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I find myself again in somewhat of your situation, in that I'm getting ready to set up a new fan page and be able to move people to the new position of this new fan page. Let me tell you why the fan page, though, I think is important and how it can be used. It can be used very important, and I used it very effectively by being able to take the advertising ability of a fan page on Facebook and bidding out ads on it. Take a look, as you look on the right of your profile page, you'll see those little advertisements that pop up.
Sure.
That they want to learn more about this, want to learn more about that. Those can actually be designed very easily on Facebook, and you bid on those. Depending on how many people you want to go, what keywords you want to use, you can bid on those for as little as I was getting them for 10 cents an impression or for 10 cents a click. That were going in onto somebody's site. I was doing it by click because I was trying to drive people directly to the Amazon page where people would buy them.
Right.
And so what I was able to do with that is being able to take that when the book was coming out, right as it did come out, I took about a month's worth of advertising and put that on the page. And what I was able to do was, by the way they take the ability to drive those ads, I could drive them towards people who were fans of other authors in my genre. So if you were a fan of Vince Flynn, if you were a fan of John Grisham, Burke, even to the point of if you were a libertarian who liked John Grisham. I had a review that called me the libertarian's John Grisham. So guess what?
Perfect.
Guess what? Everybody who identified themselves as a libertarian on Facebook and said they liked John Grisham novels saw that little ad pop up in the right-hand corner.
That's
read the man called the Libertarian's John Grisham. And then you can push them directly to the point of sale, which ends up being the Amazon page.
Oh, that's great advice.
I hope that helps. I hope that helps.
No, I think that's fantastic. And I love pulling the great blurb out of the review and using that to your advantage. And Donna, one thing that we did with an author client who was fast approaching their 5,000 person maximum on their personal fan page to incent those folks to then join up on the fan page as opposed to the personal page, we did a very concentrated campaign encouraging them with regular posts to go over there and incented them with a giveaway. And perhaps it would be, a signed copy of the book. But if you really want to incent folks to move over, you might incent them with giving away a Kindle or an iPad and put them all into a drawing to do it that way. So you figure out an offline mechanism to influence people online to make that move. Another option that you may want to consider is using an aggregating service. One that we use that is free is Ping, Ping.fm, which allows you to post the same message on both your Facebook personal page and fan page should you choose to, as well as Twitter and your blog and on and on. Rick Robinson is our guest today. I'm Burke Allen in Washington, D.C. at Guestmatch World Media Headquarters, and we're talking about how to achieve free national TV exposure and how to do it right once you get on the air. And by the way, our man Paul, who's running the controls, says that they're going to post this to iTunes and also to podcast.guestmatch.com right after the call, so you'll be able to go back and listen to anything that you may miss. And, of course, if you have questions, you can certainly send those in to us now by typing them in the link in the email, and we'll be taking your audio questions as well as we move now into the second half of the call. So the do's and don'ts of national television appearances. You just did this one on Hannity, which is a huge exposure. And one of the things I thought was a do for you is that you had clearly done your homework. You had watched this television show before, and you knew that Hannity was a sports guy, and you knew that one of his little shticks that he does is he has a Nerf football that he'll throw out into the camera in lots of these Great American Panel segments. So, Rick, you brought him a football from the school that you're affiliated with. I thought that was brilliant.
That's right. Well, about a week out from the event, and it's funny you said that I had watched the show. One of the things I did in preparation for the show was for probably about 3 weeks, I watched every edition of the Great American Panel. And as the topic was going forward, trying to rip out real quick what I would say. Here's 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 what I would say that was different. Try to add something to the conversation where when everybody was zigging, you would zag to try and get the conversation going a little bit better. And anybody who watches Hannity knows that he tosses it at the end of every segment on the Great American Panel. He tosses a foam football. So as I was watching it one night, I picked up the phone and called the president of Eastern Kentucky University, where I graduated from in 19... and called him and said, I'm going to be on the Great American Panel. Do you ever watch it? And he said, yeah, I watch it every night. And I said, do we have any Nerf footballs? And there was a pause on the other end of the phone. He said, no, but we will tomorrow.
Oh, perfect.
So we had a football made up for that. And I took it up. It's funny. I took it up, Burke. I gave it to him so he could throw it and we could get a little plug for Eastern Kentucky University. I was going to get it signed and bring it back and give it to the president of EKU.
Right.
Sean kept it. He has a collection of footballs. We get off the air and he said, this is for me, right? And I didn't want to – he's the host. I don't want to say no. And he said, because I got a collection of these that I keep up. He said, this is a really cool football. I'm going to put this one up on the wall as opposed to ones that I keep on the, he was telling me right where he's putting it in his office. It's like two rows over from the one Joe Montana gave me. And right where I'm going to put it, I'm going, wow, my EKU football is going to be right next to Joe Montana.
I can
deal with that. So it ended up being something that he really got a kick out of as well.
And at the end of the day, you got an additional, several seconds of screen time that you wouldn't have gotten had you not done that. I
believe it was the first time ever said on a national talk show, go Big E. So,
I think you're right. I think it's key. You talked about how you, for the 3 weeks leading up to your appearance, you watched that episode every night. One of the mistakes that folks who have not done a lot of media make on a regular basis is that they overestimate the amount of time that they're going to have. And, you know, with the Great American Panel, you know, that's a one or two segment piece at most, and you share the microphone with two other folks. You're on in a panel situation. So you have to be very aware of the time. And my experience in doing television radio is that it flies by. It goes much faster than you think it does. Was it that way for you, Rick, or were you did you find a different experience?
It went very quickly, and I'll tell you what was really great is that of all the people that I've ever appeared on television shows with or anything else, the best host that I've ever been with, bar none, was Sean Hannity, and I'll tell you why. We came out for our segment, sat down, got mic'd up. We still have 3 minutes to air. And instead of taking that moment where everybody would start now getting nervous about getting ready to go, Sean looks over and says, all right, we gave you topics for tonight. We're talking about none of them. Tonight was the night that the big verdict came down in Florida on the mother who had been acquitted of killing her daughter.
Right.
And
Casey
he looks
Anthony.
Over and he goes, the Casey Anthony case, he looks over and he goes, guilty or not guilty? And he starts, and so he goes down the list, guilty or not, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, the one thing they told me was don't disagree with Sean Hannity, and I know I'm going to be disagreeing with him. Look at the first guy, guilty or, he says guilty. Second one goes guilty, and I went, Sean, I think she's guilty, but I don't think the prosecution proved it. And he said, and you have got the right answer. Okay. You know, and so we start the conversation literally before we ever go on the air. And suddenly somebody shouts out 10 seconds, and he goes, all right, let's get ready to roll. You're already relaxed. You're in the mode of talking about the topic. And so when they go through the introductions, you've already had 3 minutes of arguments that you've been doing with your other guests. When we went to the break, he did the same thing. We kept on arguing about this case through the three-minute break. And if you notice, when we come back from break, Sean looked over and goes, make that point you just made.
Right, right.
And that's how we started out the second segment. So it is this flow, and the good host, which, again, the best host that I've ever sat through on one of these shows, he was able to keep it going in the middle so that you didn't even realize during this downtime that you were down.
Did you follow the Casey Anthony story? I mean, you had no idea this was coming. You know, how much awareness did you have of that story? And was it in the back of your mind as you went in there, geez, you know, this thing came out, it's the big story of the day, I better be buttoned up on it?
They send out to us at about 1 o'clock four topics. One of the topics was remotely Casey Anthony. Now, what was interesting is that Sean was coming back. He doesn't take very many vacations, but that day he was coming back off of vacation. And I think of going through the airports and going through every place he did, he saw that everybody was talking about Casey Anthony.
Right.
So the producers gave us four topics, and we literally sat down on the dais, and he said, we're not talking about any of the four topics. We're talking about Casey Anthony. I had kind of had a gut that day that that might happen. So literally what I did in preparation for going on was I called a couple friends of mine who are prosecutors and said, here's what I think about the Casey Anthony trial. Am I right or wrong, and what would you say? And so I did a little, even though I was given four topics, I went along and prepared for other things.
That's smart.
And it turned out being the right answer.
That's smart. And we always advise our guest match clients and our Allen Media Strategies clients to be very aware of what's going on in the world. Because otherwise you're trying to fit a round peg into a square hole when it comes to the media. You don't always succeed getting them to talk about exactly what you want to talk about. The better strategy in most cases is to talk about what they want to talk about and then bridge over to include the plugs for your stuff. You know, and for example, when you did this national appearance, they showed the book jacket, Manifest Destiny, on the screen. And let's talk very specifically about that, because that is priceless that you had your book jacket and your name, you know, up there on the screen. How specifically did that happen? Did you send them a copy of the book? Did you email them a JPEG file?
Yeah, we had provided them with a lot of pictures, but the one thing that I will always tell people is to be prepared when you get there. Not only have we provided those pictures, but I had a disc with all of them on it as well in my briefcase when we walked into the room. As it turned out, everybody was just getting off of vacation. The night before had been a recorded show.
Right.
Everything at this show was going to be live because they didn't have time to record any of the interviews in advance. So everybody was kind of running around trying to figure out what they were doing for the show, getting it back together, getting ready to be on the air. And as we were doing this, we were able to actually sit in the green room with the producer of our segment. And she looked over and she said, "Now, how would you like to be introduced again? How else is?" And she was working on some stuff. Again, another hint, get there early. They don't mind.
Okay.
We were there 45 minutes before the time they told us to be there, which was still going to be real, real early. So I got to spend a lot of time with the segment producer doing that. "Oh, you need that picture here. I happen to have a good book cover." Well, how would we? And we were able to talk in a time where it wasn't in that final 15 minutes where they're getting frantic, getting ready for the segment.
Right.
Everybody's there. Everybody's talking. You can hand them the stuff. You can talk to them about it. And I have to say, the one thing they tell you when you go on these shows, and I think Burke, you would agree, if you get the big hit, if you're talking about something aside from your book, if you're doing a feature on your book is one thing, but if you're talking like on the Great American Panel where you're talking about the issues of the day, don't plug.
Right.
They'll plug for you. If you plug, you might not get invited back. And I have to say, Sean Hannity did a heck of a job of plugging for me. Put up the book cover, talked about the book cover. The whole segment started with a picture of my book on the screen. And you're right, it's priceless. I watched the Amazon numbers click up that night.
That's fantastic. And you're exactly right. When you're there, you're always someone else's guest. You're a guest in their home. So, you know, you don't plug if they're going to do the plug-in for you. And obviously that worked out very, very well for you. And I want to ask you, are you telling me then that the fact that you actually had that book jacket on a CD in your briefcase made all the difference in this case? That's actually what they used to put the book jacket up there.
I don't know. I don't remember at the time if she actually ended up finding it in her emails or if she took it off the disc, but I have one handy. I always have one handy when I do a show.
You were covered either way. That's brilliant. I've written
covered
that one
either
down
way you went. I gave it to her, and I don't remember which one she ended up using, if she found it. But again, have it ready to go. If you're doing any television, have your images right there ready to give to them.
No, that's a great tip, and I've written that one down to pass along to all of our clients when we do our media mastery training up here at the end of October. That's fantastic news. Rick Robinson, our guest today, we're about to open it up for questions. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Rick, the way to do that is to press star and the number 2, and then Paul will put you into the queue and you can ask your question. If you'd like us to ask the questions, we can do that as well. Just type them in on the question link in the email that you received about today's special teleconference. You mentioned earlier in our conversation, Rick, that you're both a speaker match member and a guest match member, and you sort of tie all this together very well, this free media exposure, to help you build your speaking and your writing career. Any tips on how you do that, how you make it all come together, this free media exposure to sort of help build up demand for your speaking and build up demand for your writing?
You have to be very flexible in what it is that you do, and you also have to be very media savvy. You have to have a speaking reel ready to show people what it is that you do. I think that's the biggest drawback that a lot of people don't have when they get ready to do a speech or when they get ready to do something. They don't have a speaking reel. They don't have that ability to show something in a quick moment when somebody's trying to narrow down their list from 10 to 5, that they're able to look at somebody and go, "Oh, that looks interesting." Not only looks interesting, but now I'm going to look at the video going, "Oh, he's pretty good too."
Gotcha.
So you have to be able to have those abilities to link in. I will tell people, this is kind of my interesting story about speaker matches. I get a lot of bookings every year on speaker match, and I've never won a job that I've applied for.
Is that right?
I have been contacted via speaker match by people going in, similar to Amazon, people going to speaker match and searching for me.
Interesting.
People going in and leaving an email, going in and talking, just looking through all the profiles and going, "I kind of like that guy." They leave me an email and say, "We're getting ready to plan something. Tell me what it is that you would do."
Interesting.
I literally apply for just about everything that has traveling money and a decent fee with it. Not one a darn one of them.
Wow.
But they have contacted me, and they contact me on a regular basis via speaker match.
How interesting. All right.
Paul, if you're still listening, thank you.
That's right. No, and you know, you never know when you're going to get those. I had a speaker match opportunity recently myself where it happened to be right here in Washington, D.C. I didn't have to travel, and it was an excellent fee, and they absolutely found me right there and reached out to me directly. Here's an excellent question from Bob in Cleveland. Talking about your movie, he wants to know what the average offer in terms of dollars is for movie rights for an author. And Bob, we work with lots of different authors, many of them who've had their books made into movies. Folks like Andrew Klavan, who wrote True Crime with Clint Eastwood and Don't Say a Word with Michael Douglas, Homer Hickam, whose book was made into the movie October Sky.
Klavan's a genius. I love Klavan's stuff. You know that.
I do indeed, and he's fantastic. He just did a lot of national media for us last week in D.C. and New York. And I can tell you from my experience, Bob, and we'll let Rick speak to this as well, that it varies, you know, wildly from $0 options to six-figure options and high six-figure options. And sometimes, in the case of Andrew's book, Don't Say a Word, it took Hollywood so long to make that movie, it took him over 10 years, that he got paid an option renewal fee every year for those 10 years. And at the movie premiere, he said the producer told him, geez, you made more money on this than I did because it took them so long to make it. They had to, you know, renew the option every year. I will tell you that even the low or no dollar options are great from a publicity and PR standpoint because it gives you yet another thing to talk about and more legitimacy for your book, even if you don't make any money with that option. Rick, can you speak to that and how much money for the option you think is an average out there?
In looking at what was going on in the marketplace when this came up, as you mentioned, I don't have an agent. I've been doing everything and gotten to where I am with all of this without an agent. And so when I have this producer contact me and say, interested in doing this, you want to make a movie? My first reaction was, yeah, and then looking around going, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. So I very quickly got in touch with several people who I know who had either been able to option something. I have a friend of mine who has a friend who runs a small production house out in California. And so I was able to gather up the information that I looked at in prior to doing this. I was lucky in that I was able to come up with a six-figure deal for the book. Obviously, the option money is a small percentage of that for what the larger case is going to be.
Right.
But what I found was options are going everywhere from $1,000 with some sort of sliding scale payment,
right,
to $50,000 for just about a lot of the books that are being sold out there right now are in the $50,000-$60,000 range, from the opinion that I got. Unless they find something they really like and they really want to tie somebody up, then they go for a little bit higher number. The one thing that I heard from several people in talking about this, and I guess this would be with our friend in Cleveland, is that one of the laughs I got was that every kid graduating from film school in California has a screenplay under his arm. What we're able to do as writers, I'm assuming our friend from Cleveland is a writer, is that we're able to tell stories.
Right.
And that's more than just putting together a screenplay. And that is a lot of, you have to put together the right person that is looking for that story, that is looking for more than just a screenplay on some sort of dialogue running down on this, that, or other, but you actually are able to paint the picture and paint the scenes. My producer that picked this up, Pete Dial, said he was able to actually picture himself walking through the Capitol in one of the very first scenes. And he said that's what hooked him. So there is hope for us out there who write these books and try to find the right person to do it, and it's coming up with that right karma to get that done.
Guest match and speaker match member Rick Robinson pulling back the veil of secrecy on Hollywood and also on how to get free national TV exposure and radio exposure. Rick, I want to go back to something that was left unsaid on the Hannity piece, and that is – specifically how you got that booking. Did you email the booker for Hannity? Did you call? Did you tell them, hey, I'm going to be in town anyway this week and would love to come by? Sort of specifically, how did you do that outreach?
What I was able to do is use some of the people who were involved and some of the people who are connected with my producer. And we sat down and we talked about what would be the good way to do that, what would be the good shows that we could do to try and get some national attention, and for the type of things that you do, what is it that can we do? And so from their angle, we were able to take a direct contact his publicist, from the producer's publicist in that end. And then what I did was I actually went around the other door, and that is use the connections that I had in politics for some of the people that are very close to Sean and his production crew, and said, hey, can you do me a favor? I'm going to be in town the week of July 5th. That would be a wonderful time to do this. Somebody's making a front run. I made the end run and talked to some of those people and say, when they get the call, will you have them listen to me? Because, again, you're very right in that it's very hard sometimes for the fiction writers to get spots on these national shows.
Sure.
They want a lot of these shows have actually a policy. Everybody says to me, you ought to get on Colbert. I would love to be on Colbert. I think he's a very funny guy. But if you take a look at the people that come on and do his show, they are all nonfiction.
Right, exactly.
People say you ought to be on the C-SPAN book tour. I should be, except they're all nonfiction.
That's exactly right. So you've got to look for ways as a fiction author to get that exposure, and one of the best ways is the way that you do it, and that's where you position yourself as an expert in a particular field. All right, a couple of more great questions here. From Dan, who's right down the road from you, Rick, in Louisville, Kentucky, he wants us to explain a little more about how to use various social media in concert to market a book, a seminar, or a presentation. You know, for example, we mentioned fan pages. And I think that the way that you use that, and perhaps we should explain that, there's a difference between a personal page and a fan page, and the biggest difference in a fan page is you can have unlimited visitors there, whereas a fan page caps out at, I believe, 5,000 folks. So what we do with our clients, Dan, and Rick can certainly speak to this as well, is that we try to sync up all our efforts, and it's very much like a branding campaign. So we use many times the same or very similar messages on our blogs, on Twitter, on Facebook, MySpace, our websites, guest match on the online media press kits, if you're a speaker match member, and you make sure that it all syncs up so that as media professionals come to you or potential readers or potential presentation and seminar planners, they get the same sort of message that comes across. So you need to theme it and brand it all the way across. Anything you could add to that, Rick?
Well, what I would add to that, Burke, is that one of the things that I have been able to use very effectively on the social networking side is not just to Facebook, but to LinkedIn. LinkedIn has been very successful for me from the standpoint of being able to blast things out to a lot of people via the groups. LinkedIn allows you to do two things. One, it allows you to send group emails 50 at a time to your to the people that you are connected with. Which is invaluable when you'll be able to sit there and click down and send an email out. New book just released. You can click it. Well, we did it for when we released our stuff on Kindle.
Right.
You asked for it. You got it. Manifest Destiny now available on Kindle. Click this link. I was able to send it to everybody with a direct email. More importantly, and I would tell him to go to, if he joins LinkedIn or if he's a member of LinkedIn, look at the groups, for instance, LinkedIn Kentucky, LinkedIn Louisville, that are some of the business groups and the business people. Other things, I'm a member of Phi Delta Theta Fraternity, LinkedIn Phi Delta for me, the Phi Delta groups, so that not only do I then send out an email to those people who are direct contacts with me, but I do the same to each one of the groups. I start a discussion in each one of the groups that might say, if I'm in the Phi Delta group that says, Phi Delta Theta member releases latest book on Kindle. So they take a look at that. When I'm in the group that is the current and former Capitol Hill staffers, It's a huge group, thousands of them, exactly my readership. People that have been on the Hill are the people who like to read my book. So I put in there, former Capitol Hill staffer, book now available on Kindle. Those are the types of things that, again, you can, it's not just Facebook, it's not just Twitter, it's a lot of these other networking sites. And for me, again, the one that I've used very effectively is LinkedIn.
Oh, that's smart. And I love the targeting on that, too. And you know, we mentioned earlier, it's not easy. It is a lot of work. You know, none of this is a get-rich-quick scheme. It is a get-rich-slowly and methodically and by digging in and getting the work done. So, I applaud you for taking the time and getting it all done. And by the way, if you have a question for us during our teleconference, we've got another few minutes here. You can press star 2 with any questions, or if you like, you can type your questions into email, and we have time for a couple more. Here's a question from Richard, who asked whether celebrity endorsements for your book really help. He says that David Crosby from Crosby, Stills & Nash did a shout-out for his book during a concert in San Francisco recently. Celebrity endorsements we have found really help, and especially if you can get them on the book jacket. One of our clients was fortunate enough to have Glenn Beck write an endorsement. We've had endorsements from Stephen King, and we use those in PR to help spread the word. And you know, just the fact that that person's fan base, you know, may fall in line with you, I think absolutely makes a lot of sense. And so, yeah, I would say that celebrity endorsements are huge if you can get them. And if you add a verbatim of what David Crosby said in that shout out from the stage, and you could use a portion of that in your promotional materials, I absolutely would do it, Richard. So that's a great question. Here's one for you,
Greg. And I think it's also important when you do your Google searches, because what it does in the Google search is now it puts a Google search out there when somebody's searching for David Crosby. If you can position it in such a way with your website and what they have, and I believe me, I'm not a website guy that knows all the different plugins that you have to have to get there. But if somebody puts in David Crosby's name and suddenly your name, your book or your website pops up with it, that's huge. I have the great good fortune of having Crystal Zevon, Warren Zevon's wife, blurb one of my books with the blurb, "Warren Zevon would have loved this book," which I'm a huge Warren Zevon fan, and I told Crystal there was nothing nicer she could have written for me. But as I did that, I make sure that's on all of my website, everything else, so that when, in fact, sometimes when people search Warren Zevon, they might see my book and go, "Wow, what's that about? What would Warren Zevon love? Wow, this book, okay."
That's a great point, and that works very well with all of our Allen Media Strategies clients and even with our own firm. Here's a question specifically, I think, for you, Rick. You mentioned gut feeling earlier, and Tamara in Portland, Oregon, wants to know how big a role intuition has played in your business and your everyday life. I guess specifically as it points to your speaking and your writing.
Well, you have to go with your gut, and more importantly, I think more than the gut feeling, you have to go with your heart. This is a tough time out there for authors and a tough time out there for trying to figure out what's going on in the business. And every time, let me put it this way, if I would go by my gut on a lot of this, I probably would have gotten out of writing starting into this fourth book, looking at borders closing and all the stores, what they're doing, but my heart tells me to keep writing. So there's a good combination of the two that I think you have to figure out eventually.
I think that's a great answer. And again, if you have any further questions for Rick Robinson, about national TV, radio exposure, social media, you can press star 2 and type your questions in as well in the question link in the email that was sent out. Rick, as we wrap this up and we have just a couple of minutes left, what advice would you give to folks who just seem overwhelmed by all the information that we just threw out there as a good starting point? You know, what's the first thing that you did as a writer who didn't have a big, you know, deal with a huge New York publisher to sort of get the ball rolling in the right direction? Good starting steps.
The good starting step, I think, is doing a couple of things. First off, you have to start thinking about the marketing of your book before you ever think about selling it. As you're writing it, you have to start thinking about the marketing of it. My wife tells me all the time, whenever I write something that is a bio type of piece that I'm going to put at the top of things. It says Rick Robinson is, you know, tells who it is. My wife always tells me to go back downstairs and put my announcer voice on and do it.
Great.
Because you have to think about in the marketing, you know, as she always says, go down and introduce yourself like you're introducing a kid at a football game. You know, so instead of saying, here comes such and such, here, you know, Rick Robinson has done this, my bios all start out with 30 years in law and politics. Rick Robinson is the consummate Washington insider. Well, that tells everybody right off what the voice is, what the person is, what the story is going to be about. So you start thinking about those things early. The very first thing I did, and if I would recommend to somebody, the very first thing to start with, go out and find the provider, and whether it's Eye Contact or Close Contact or one of those types of newsletter organizations, providers, and start putting together your emails and start doing a newsletter. Getting out to people what it is that you're doing, what you're writing about, what's going on in the world, links to your things. That's the very first thing. Start getting to the people you know before you get to the people you don't know.
That's great advice. And you know, we mentioned our Media Mastery Weekend event. The very first day of that three-day event, we spend on sort of the blocking and the tackling and the strategy of how to go about this whole thing, because it really is, if you do it right, it's a business. And it's not, I haven't found, Rick, to be a difficult business. It's just you need to know what to do, and you need to know how the pieces all fit together, and that's in terms of going after the media and then how to do the interviews and how to do the newsletters and you know exactly what to do with social media. And you've given us some great insider tips, and I have personally learned a lot on the call today too. For a list of all these resources, by the way, I know that Paul with Guest Match and Speaker Match will put those together. But if you want to jot down any of these websites, MediaMasteryWeekend.com, remember LinkedIn, remember, you know, newsletter services like Constant Contact or AWeber or Eye Contact, MailChimp.
I was going to say, I'll throw out Eye Contact. I use them.
Yeah, Eye Contact is fantastic. If you need to put together media lists for folks to go after, a great free resource there is radio-locator.com. It's a free database of every radio station in America as well as Canada. And so these resources are available. And also, you know, for our Guest Match members, you know, and Speaker Match members, I encourage you to utilize our firm. If I can be of any help, there's nothing that feels better for us than to see Guest Match members succeed and get these big national media hits like Rick did on Hannity. So by all means, reach out to us. You can find me online at guestmatch.com or at our DC office, allenmediastrategies.com, and we answer every phone call and every email. Rick, if folks want to visit you online, is authorrickrobinson.com the best place for them to go?
Author Rick Robinson is the best place to go, and if anybody listening would like to get a copy of my newsletter, go ahead and drop me an email at richardleerobinson@yahoo.com, and I'll put you on the list.
Appreciate that, and we can read Rick at thedailycaller.com as well as his newsletter, and it's always very meaty. We've got time for one final question, and we'll slip it in there. It's from Sharon in Wyoming. Do you create a fan page for every book you write? Well, this is something that Rick, you're sort of learning as you go along. Are you going to create a new fan page for your next book?
I hope this is my friend Sharon from Wyoming, and what I'm going to do, Sharon, is create a new website just for all of the novels, and it will cover all of them for the same. So it won't be for Manifest Destiny. We eventually shut down Manifest Destiny because I named it wrong, and you can't change the name once you get in. This is the Sharon I think it is, we'll maybe even try and figure out a way to put on some Bruce Springsteen songs onto it as well.
Fantastic. Yes, and Sharon, we do recommend new fan pages for each book. One website for the author that is sort of a general site for the author, but then even sometimes new mini sites for each book that comes out. Geez, we're up against it. This was a fantastic hour of information. Rick, I really appreciate you sharing everything, dollars and cents. You didn't hold anything back, and this is the kind of information that helps everybody push the ball forward. So thank you very much.
Great to be here, Bert. Looking forward to doing it again sometime.